Well, hello and welcome. It's so nice to be with you on this Christmas Eve day. Wow. Are you ready for Christmas? Have you got all those presents under the tree, or do you wait until it's dark and the kids are in bed, like my mama used to do? Oh, anyway, are you filled with the Spirit? But what Spirit are you filled with? That's the question. You know, I've given my message today a very special title, and I'd like you to pay close attention to what's being said, if you would, please. I call my message, The Holly Jolly Liar. The Holly Jolly Liar. Now, that's an unusual title, isn't it? But who am I referring to when I say Holly Jolly Liar? You got it. It's that old bearded guy in the red suit, Santa Claus, or Santa Claus. We used to call him Santa Claus when I was a kid. Well, why is it that parents seem to get so mad at you when you tell them there is no Santa Claus? What? No Santa Claus? No. Don't say that. My mama used to say, where do you think you get all these presents? Santa Claus? Afraid not. Didn't work. You know, all the Easter Bunny brings is eggs and gumdrops and stuff like that. Why is it that parents would rather give credit to an old fat guy than give credit to God? That's what I'd like to know. Why? Anyway, let's get into our message. The Holly Jolly Liar. Actually, he's the master of disguise. Right off the top, may I say, a very Merry Christmas to you and your house. And praise be to the Lamb of God. Praise be to the Lamb of God. To you who are not yet children of the King, are not saved, may your cup runneth over. That means, may you get saved. Then your cup will runneth over for sure. May you find lodging. May Christ rather find lodging in your needy hearts on this Christmas Eve day. Let's have a word of prayer before we get into the message. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you, Lord, so much that you allowed me to deliver this message today on this radio station. I pray, Lord, that those who hear it, Lord, will be encouraged by it. I know I add a little humor here and there, Lord. But, Lord, I concentrate on the truth, your truth, Lord, and that's what's important. And that when all is said and done, you, Lord God, will be glorified. In Jesus' name I ask, amen, amen. Now, like I said, the title I've given my message this Christmas Eve is twofold, actually. It's twofold. If you're saved, well, may the Lord Jesus Christ have the preeminence throughout this entire Yuletide season and beyond. On the other hand, if you're not saved or not sure if you're saved, if you have a plan to enjoy this merry occasion, may you do so without looking over your shoulder. I say this because your would-be Savior is not with you. He's not looking over you. No, that's kind of sad, isn't it? Instead, you are in cahoots with the Holly Jolly Liar. The Holly Jolly Liar. Let us begin. All right? 'Twas the night before Christmas, and all through the house, not a creature was stirring. No, not even a mouse. The stockings were hung by the chimney with care, in hopes that St. Nicholas soon would be there. A familiar frame, to introduce jolly old St. Nick, isn't it? a fairy tale, of course. But I ask you, have you ever been in the presence of such a fraud? Oh, many have, of course, but maybe you haven't. Or do you just avoid him like the plague? He's well known as the Holly Jolly Liar. That's what he is. Although not a believer himself, yet trying desperately to win the hearts of the little children to a place where it's too hot for Christmas. That's what he's doing. He's as much as saying, worship me, I am it. I'm your reason for Christmas. And if you believe that, children, well, I hope your mama's listening and that she'll take you in tow and give you the truth about the gospel of Jesus Christ. No, Santa Claus is just a figment off your imagination. Oh, yeah, you can see him, but he has no viability in the house of God. I have more years behind me, I'm afraid, than I do before me. Yes, I do. I would suppose that most moms and dads, well, that they still enjoy Christmas. I know I do. The Christmas season is very special for me. It's the season of our Savior's birth. Now, you get all these people come out of the woodwork and say, how do you know he's born on Christmas Day? We don't know that for sure. Well, go sit down somewhere, will you, and just listen. That's all you can say to them. Still, you can still enjoy Christmas, you know. It's the Christmas season so much. Well, they allow the wounded minds of the little children now, that's whom we're concerned about, to bask in the most popular lie the world has ever known. Yep. It's been said that the mind of a child is without direction on Christmas morning. You can believe that, because I know I've been there. And I'm still there sometimes, except I know the difference. Yeah. The mind of a child is without direction, though, when those gifts start to get opened on Christmas morning. Christmas morning. For he can only see through a glass darkly. The excitement overwhelms them, and the truth from above seems to find little or no lodging in his heart. You see, he's not... He's seeing through that glass darkly, not face to face with the Lord. So, what is Christmas? Where did Christmas originate? I'm sure you've heard all kinds of stories, and they probably were flattering. They probably would be exciting to hear. But I'm asking you, where did Christmas originate? Why is Christmas still so popular? Today, is it the lights? Is it the presents? Is it the holiday and bending of the elbow as you dig into mama's hot turkey? Huh? Is it? Well, it could be all these things plus. But what really is Christmas? What is Christmas? Well, let's go to the professionals. How about, according to Merriam-Webster, you know, the guy that compiled that dictionary, that big fat dictionary? Merriam-Webster, Christmas is a Christian feast held each year on December 25th. Okay. Some Eastern Orthodox groups, however, prefer to celebrate Christmas on January 7th. Well, by January 7th, we're still digging out. And we've forgotten all about Christmas. And a lot of our toys are already broken. And are going back to the store to get better ones. Aside from Easter, which celebrates the resurrection, or the birth of our Savior, Jesus Christ. You know, the purpose of his birth, well, it was to save or rescue sinners from that which prevent them would prevent them from entering into God's presence after death, right? Right. Got to get rid of that sin stigma that blocks the way to God the Father through Jesus Christ. The Word of God makes it clear that Jesus came into the world to save sinners. That's right, to save sinners. From what? That's what you ask. From what? From going to hell. Hell. Now, since Adam and Eve disobeyed God in the Garden of Eden, well, sin was introduced to all of mankind. All of mankind. So Jesus, the Christ, was born on Christmas Day. Why? For the soul, that's S-O-L-E or S-O-U-L, for the sole purpose of having the world, or saving the world rather, from eternal hellfire. This is the main reason why God the Father sent His only begotten Son to save the world from sin. We got that? That's not hard to understand. This is basically why we celebrate Christmas, the day of our Savior's birth. Some will quibble that it was the next day, or the day before, or January 7th, or whatever. It doesn't matter. But December 25th is the day we celebrate it in unison, right? Of course, Christmas has been greatly exploited over time, hasn't it? As people took the liberty of using the true Christmas for what? Personal gain. And it's gotten worse, a lot worse today. While there are many who do not believe in the reason for Christmas, well, they have, if you will, cashed in on the opportunity, the great opportunity of Christmas. For example, the money changers. They've introduced such things as the Christmas cactus, Christmas cards, Christmas clubs, Christmas ferns, and Christmas roses. Not to mention the greatest money maker of all, the Christmas tree. While many people will decide for themselves the actual Christmas season when it really begins on Christmas Day and culminates on New Year's Day. That's the way we look at it at our place. We call it a season. The day itself, of course, is holy. But the season goes on and we keep giving thanks and praising God for His Son who was born on Christmas Day. Wow. You know, in the truest sense, my friends, and as unfortunate as it may be, what God meant as the greatest celebration the world could ever know could only have been realized now through the obedience of the fairest of them all. The fairest of them all. Jesus. The Christ. Jesus, the Christ. Beloved, Christmas became Christmas because God so loved the world. That's what Christmas really is. If we don't believe in John 3:16, then you have no cause to celebrate Christmas. And you have no reason to be jolly, except if you are in cahoots with the holly jolly liar, and you know who that is, because that's all you are. If you don't put Christ first during your Christmas celebration, if you let all the grandeur of the Christmas season overwhelm you, because you think you deserve gifts, or because it's a wonderful time for family getting together, and that part is true, it is. If that's all you think Christmas is, then you're badly mistaken. Badly mistaken. A child was born on Christmas Day. A child was born on Christmas Day. You know, the holly jolly liar, well, he's one who seeks out the bottle of Christmas cheer. That's what he likes. The holly jolly liar, well, he's the one who knocks on doors and car windows and proclaims Jesus as his Lord. But when the day is done, he returns as a dog to his vomit and as the fool to his folly. Oh, yes. And also as the sow who was washed in her wallowing in the mire. That's all. The holly jolly liar is not one who chooses Jesus, but one who uses Jesus. Have you got that? The holly jolly liar is not one who chooses Jesus. He's one who uses Jesus for his own personal gain. Beware of false prophets, my friends, which come to you in sheep's clothing or in a Santa's outfit. But inwardly they are ravening wolves. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. That's what Christmas is. That's the foothold on Christmas. That is the main authority of Christmas, right there. Can you shout to the whole world, "I'm a Christian"? Can you? When you jump out of bed tomorrow morning and have your morning stretch, and while your hands are reaching upwards, shout it out so that all the world may know. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. You may even go as far as to say, "Happy birthday, Jesus." And go about your day rejoicing, singing those sweet carols, praising his holy name. I'll close shortly, my friends, but I have another item or two to bring up before I do. I ask you, if you are not a Christian, now you know what a Christian means. A Christian who's someone who's in Christ. You are a saved individual. There's no doubt in your mind. You're on your way to glory. You belong to Jesus Christ. If you're not a Christian, Now, I don't mean because that someone told you you were. There's a lot of that going on. They give you a quickie prayer and you say amen. They say, "There you are, you're a Christian. You're a Christian." I'm telling you right now, you're a Christian. Then you go about your daily routine. You don't make any changes at all. Well, what good is that? It's not witnessing and Christianity and salvation is not giving someone the gospel only. It's them showing they are part of the gospel message. They are. It belongs to them. They can claim it for their own. Oh, man, I don't know. It's so sad sometimes when you see people walking around and holding out cups and I got nothing against that if you're sincere, but a lot of people aren't. They just like to capitalize on Christmas. You know, if you're really saved, you're going to know it. You might say, "Well, how am I going to know it?" Well, God's going to tell you by your fruits. By their fruits you shall know them. You'll want to do things for God. You'll want to worship God. You'll want to tell others about God. That's how you're going to know. You'll be able to say, "I'm saved. I have no doubt I'm saved. I love my Savior. I love my Lord Jesus." You must And this is vital. You must desire to live the part. Although becoming a Christian is instant, once you repent and believe, the Word of God tells us you will know them by their fruits. You will no longer desire to gather grapes or figs or thistles. No. Not every good tree bringeth forth good fruit, you know. Oh, no. From my family to your family. You know, if I was with you today, wherever you are, Jesus would be with me. You know why? Because that's the reason I would be with you. You see, when I was a child, I thought as a child, I behaved like a child, I did the things a child would do. But you know, when I became a child of the King, I put away childish things. When I gave myself over to Christ, I put away these things. I had more important things in my mind. I was now going to work for my Savior. It's not hard work. Well, if you're in the ministry, perhaps, or if you're an evangelist over in a wild country, yes. But for the basic Christian who walks down the street today, who attends church when the church doors are open, you want to go. I see people come to church on Sunday morning. That's 11 o'clock service. Sunday night, 7 o'clock service, hardly anybody there. And yet they all profess to be Christians. Well, I'm sorry. I feel so sorry for you. You see, that's not what I believe a Christian is. Now, if you're sick or you're away and you can't make it, I understand. Everybody understands, especially God. He understands. But if you just can't be bothered, you can't get your big feet off the couch and turn the TV off and get yourself in time, into your local church in time to hear the Word of God coming forth, then don't tell me you're a Christian. Don't tell me you're a Christian. I know, because I've been there. You see, I know what it's like to not be a Christian. And that's why I know what it's like to be a Christian. And I didn't become a Christian by someone telling me, here's what you have to do. Because I was a Catholic at the time. And all they told me to do was shut up and do what I was told. Don't read the Bible and get here at church on Sunday morning. We'll tell you all you need to know. They didn't want me reading the Bible, God's Word. No. I was 45 years old. Now I'm 76. I was 45 when I found Jesus. But he'd been looking for me for 45 years, and I just ignored him. But when I found him, it had to be at a point in my life where I was running out of time. Everything that I was living for was dissolving away quickly, and I just wanted to give up, just throw in the towel. That's what it was like for me. I'm not saying it has to be that dramatic for you, no. I was dragged out of a wet ditch on a country road. That's where I got saved. But you can get saved in the comfort of your own home just by talking and reading the scriptures. Talk to somebody who knows what salvation is. Let them open the Bible in front of you and read to you the plan of salvation. You won't be sorry. You won't be sorry. And you know what? Everybody will know. Everybody will know that you're not a holly jolly liar anymore. because you know the true meaning of Christmas. As I close, I'll give you this. From my family to your family, a very Merry Christmas, everyone. And may God's blessing be upon you and your house. Amen. Amen.